Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Microbrew Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined on the other line by my colleague and friend, Kurt Hoag. We are both of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Today is Thursday, January 16th, 2025, and it is a sad day. Pretty sad day in Brewers history. Very sad day. Bob Uecker, the longtime radio announcer, 54 years on the microphone, contributing to Milwaukee Brewers baseball, nearly 70 years in baseball altogether, one of the faces, if not the face, of Wisconsin sports, certainly the face of the Milwaukee Brewers franchise since its inception in 1970. He passed away after a battle with cancer, and it's been quite the day. We've had a lot of content for you at jsonline.com, looking back at his career, what he means to the organization. Kurt, I'm going to start with the final days of the season, the final day of the season, which was memorable for a lot of reasons. It was a crushing defeat at the hands of the New York Mets. And there's this emotional interview afterwards with Christian Yelich. And pretty clear, Bob Uecker, famously a very private person. We didn't have a lot of the information. We didn't know he'd been sick for any length of time, let alone, well over a year, which is amazing. But Christian Yelich knew something was up. And we all knew something was up based on how Christian Yelich was reacting. We didn't know exactly how bad. We didn't know what was going on. But I think we thought that something like this might be in the pipeline, that he might be sick and might not be back to broadcast games. I don't know. Take me back to that moment, what you were thinking, and kind of as this transpired, I'm guessing that interview kind of flashed before you, flashed through your mind.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And it wasn't just that, too. It was that whole scene, because that was the last time that, I saw Bob, that a lot of the players saw him, that, the coaching staff, Murph, when I talked to him earlier, I think he might have seen him earlier this offseason. But still, that was the last time that we saw him. And in that moment, I think a lot of people either knew or knew enough to assume that that could be very well the last time that, we were seeing him, talking to him. I didn't talk to him in that setting, but for players and media alike, I think it was just a kind of a surreal thing to wrap your mind around. And we didn't really get into the emotions of the post game a ton. I don't think on this pod. I think we may have been evident in the way we wrote our stories or whatnot, but yeah, that scene in that room stuck with me and made, it wasn't so much the jarring way that the season ended as a reporter, but it was just that scene in that room and the way that Yelich talked about it and the way he was crying and clearly had been crying for a long time. And the way that Bob Uecker had his arm around Devin Williams and he was the one consoling Devin Williams, who was crying. It was clear that something was happening. Something was up, and you piece together, the various parts of the last year of Uecker, that we saw, or we heard, I did not know he had cancer. A lot of people I was with every single day, they did know. And it was very private, and they kept that within that circle, but you still understand he's going through something. Clearly his health is not good. Yet it's a testament to Uke, right? That he showed up every day and you never would have known something was up when he was there. He was the same guy who would walk in the clubhouse, do the same, the same spiel every single day, and he would hold court and tell stories and all this. So, yeah, just a lot comes to mind, especially from the last year with Uke. But that day in particular stands out. And I was talking to Murph earlier today on the phone, and I was telling him the story about how Uecker and Devin were together, and Devin had just talked to the media, and he was clearly not in a good spot mentally, understandably. And Yuke, knowing that it was probably his last time in that clubhouse, saying goodbye to these guys, he was the one that was consoling Williams, and he was picking Devin up and like putting a smile on Devin's face when this very well could have been like the last hoorah for Yuke. And he clearly didn't want it to be that. So yeah, that scene is one that I'm never going to forget. And it's not because the Brewers lost.
But because they lost, it's tough to really be able to separate what's the game, what's weaker.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes that challenging. You can't just very well in the aftermath of that, right? Hey, by the way, people are really upset about Bob Uecker. Something might be up there because, first of all, no one's going to tell you what's going on because Bob Uecker wants it that way. He doesn't want to share that information, as of course is his right and privilege. I mean, that's just kind of how it has to be. You mentioned this conversation you had with Pat Murphy, and I really wanted to ask you about that because he had some really poignant things to say. You know, Pat Murphy is kind of the perfect person for this anyway. He's obviously the manager of the Brewers, but he's just a philosopher. And I think he has some really interesting, you know, nuggets of wisdom. I'm sure developed a pretty close relationship with Uecker over the last several years with the organization. Well, give me a sense of that conversation. I really liked your story at JS Online where Pat Murphy is talking about Bob Uecker.
Yeah, Murph really does have a way of putting baseball and life in a very interesting light. And that's why he's a really interesting person to talk to, is because you never know what he's going to say that is going to click with you or make you think about something in a different way. And just the way that like he appreciated Bob while he and we had Bob, that always struck me. Like there'd be days where, and I told him this, I was like, there were days where, so Uke would meet with Murph before the game. They would do their radio show on days where Uke was at the home games and doing it. And sometimes that would push back his media availability by 15, 20, 30 minutes. Like he was in there with Uke and no one's going to knock on the door and say, hello, it's time for us. But we would come in on some of those days and Murph would just like seemed random, but it wasn't random. Like bring up just how great it was to like be in the same room as Bob Uecker, and like, yeah, this job is difficult sometimes. There are hard parts of it for everyone, for him, for the reporters coming in, for the players. Like just being in baseball is not always flowers, but like you have to remember that you have to tell yourself, I'm going to go work and I'm going to see Bob Uecker today. And I don't know what that's going to lead. Like he might end up telling stories about players from the 50s, like Mickey Mantle lighting farts on fire. You just, that wasn't necessarily just part of the conversation with Murph today, but like that is kind of how he has viewed Uke, and he has helped. I think he's helped others gain an appreciation in the moment for who Bob was. And so that I think that's a special like human trait that not everyone has. And Murph definitely does.
It's very hard. You know, we grew up with Bob Uecker. So you start to just figure that's normal. The older you get, the more you realize how unusual he is. I mean that in the best way possible. And we saw that certainly even, you know, not behind the scenes, just the way that he was a celebrity personality that went beyond just baseball. But behind the scenes, you know, he had a locker in the clubhouse. He like you're talking about, fraternized regularly with the players, developed really close bonds with players who are decades younger than him. I always, you know, it's always cool, and we'll talk about his broadcasting too, but like the fact that he played with, you know, knew Hank Aaron well, played with some of the greats of Milwaukee baseball, and also got to call Jackson Churio home runs, 20-year-old Jackson Churio in the year 2024, is really quite something extraordinary. I mean, and he's obviously a very good storyteller. You don't need to be told that. You know that based on his the vibe he had with the players, with the coaches. Like he wasn't just the face of the Brewers to fans. He was the face of the Brewers inside that organization.
To the Brewers, too. Yes, yes, yeah.
That's very unique, I have to think. Very unique. Hard to know. Like, I've never been around Vin Scully or, you know, Ernie Harwell with the Tigers or like Harry Callis with Philly. But he's so
no Mark Attanasio made a similar observation today on the Zoom with him. Is like Vin Scully revered as Vince, like the greatest baseball broadcaster. You know, Yuke's in that conversation too, but he's up there. And but it still was not the same relationship that like that Yuke had with the players. Vin was never a big league player.
Yeah.
Yuke at his core was a baseball player. And that never changed. And so that kind of fueled the whole ability to just be one of the guys, no matter how old he was. And then Yuke's personality, of course, like he's young at heart. And he can fit in with that crowd super easily. But yeah, he was one of the players. And really, like again, one of the things you don't realize that you appreciate while you're watching it is like watching Yuke hold court when he walks in the clubhouse. It's going to be like really hard to be in there next year and like not think about what we don't have, like what we're not seeing. Like Yuke walks in, says howdy boys, says it, you know, says hi to the media real quick, and then he's on his tour to the players. He's going what would that be? That'd be counterclockwise, working his way back to like where his locker is, right at the front, doing his big handshake with Freddie Peralta right at the entrance to the clubhouse too. And then like, and then yeah, you just see him, and then he would post up like right on the dugout railing, right by like where the batting helmets are kept, and whoever's over there, it's story time. Literally, whoever's over there, like that's what one of the things you might have some stories too, like even when you interned for MLB.com, and it's like, oh, I'm like 20 years old, 21 years old, and I'm just like allowed to be in this group listening to Bob Uecker. No one else is saying a word, but like I can just stand here and no one's like, yeah, you're not allowed here. And that's like, that's another thing about Yuke too, is like, that's just how it was. He cared about like everyone that was in there, from the players on down. Like there was no person that was down, you know, down in that setting that he was above or whatnot. So, I could go for a while, but, I don't even know where we were, what we were talking about. That's kind of the theme of today. It's like people just start talking and then.
Yeah.
Like you ask a question.
I stood up in the middle of the newsroom here on Thursday when the first time I found out, the Brewers Twitter account is not usually the place that you get breaking news, but they posted it and sent it out. And I stood up in the middle and there was no one in the newsroom. There was a meeting going on or something. I just stood up and I'm like, oh my God, Bob Uecker died. And there was no one there to hear it. It felt very strange, but it hit a lot harder than I thought it would, Kurt. For me, I don't know if that's your experience, but like 90 years old, you know, it's always in the back of your mind. It's always a possibility. He's had some health problems. Like there's always, obviously it could happen at any moment. I did not expect for it to hit like that. I really didn't. I don't know how do you feel about it? You were out there at the stadium, even talking to other people who came to the stadium today to be at that statue. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think the same. Because like I said, for the last season, being around the team and being around Yuke and being around like the people that really, really knew what was going on, and things like, okay, Pat Murphy, why are you bringing this up again about, you know, we're lucky to be with Uecker. We know this. It did have something settle in about like, yeah, this is probably it. I personally did not think he was going to call another game this year. I thought it was probably done, but still when it happening and like, and talking to people at the stadium and talking to Murph, and talking to these players, and then seeing just the outpouring on social media and all of it. Once the crazy rush of our jobs kind of went away for a second, yeah, it hit me, because part of this day was strange. I'm sure you would say the same, like this dynamic of like covering this beloved figure that we knew from being in the media, and like you want to be sad, and you are sad, but the job is the job, and you have to find a way to cover this in the right way. It just makes for a very unique situation for me, and probably for you, I guess.
One of the things, it's not necessarily specific to Uecker, but speaking of Vin Scully or any other of the legendary broadcasters that have been fortunate enough to work 50 years or more, or roughly 50 years in broadcasting, is that you get to have an experience that the generation before you had, or the generation after you had. You know, like Bob Uecker would have been the voice of my parents' childhood if they had listened to Brewers games growing up. And it was certainly the voice of my childhood, and my own kids know the voice of Bob Uecker, know the get up, get out of here, gone, or that he struck him out. You know, that's just not, there aren't many people who are, or many jobs or professions where that can happen. And not only is it a shared experience to know that voice, but to be able to remember your childhood like that, those, you know, endearing childhood years that people always go back to, the nostalgia of it. You know, I'm growing up knowing what it's like to like learn baseball from Bob Uecker. My parents did the same thing, and my kids could have done the same thing too. If TV hadn't completely supplanted radio as sort of the dominant medium, it probably would have been that way too. So, you know, that's so unique. It's so unique to experience, because even like actors or musicians, like they get older, their music changes. It's not the same experience a generation apart. Yeah. But with Bob Uecker, it really was.
There's not only one actor. No offense.
Right.
No offense to Chalamet. There are others.
If you want Brewers baseball, good. There is one primary conduit.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's other guys calling it, but there is one Mr. Baseball and one voice of the Brewers. And I still don't think that's really going to change now. But no, you're absolutely right. And going back to the Murph conversation, actually, there was something that he said that's just coming back to mind now that you bring this up. He said that Uecker was the way that people grew to become comfortable with the game of baseball and how they grew to interpret the game of baseball. And I was like, wow, that hits. Because that's how I learned to interpret baseball.
For sure.
Is like at my youngest stages is listening to Bob Uecker. So much of like why I care about baseball, why you care about baseball, why listeners care about baseball is through Bob Uecker. And that's another thing that makes today so tough is like, there's no more opportunities for that. And it's not just like the game itself. It's like just the wonderful part of baseball that includes like these stories on air, and you don't get that in any other sport. And like, I love that. I love that about listening to broadcasts, and like, I think that shapes the way that we view this game as like this fun thing. It's how we talk about it. It's how we write about it. It's how we podcast about it. And like, where did that start? Sure. Like our parents, for a lot of us, probably our grandparents, maybe a brother, a sister. But when it all boils down to it, at the center of that baseball loving egg is Bob Uecker.
He's really the last of his kind. I'm sure there are other announcers that don't just jump to mind who have been with their team for a very long time, who are capable of calling a game beyond the rote play-by-play and have it be a good listening experience. You know, I go back to some of those, that, you know, Vin Scully's gone. Harry Callis is gone. Harry Carey is gone. I mean, obviously guys like Red Barber are long gone. Ernie Harwell, like, these are guys who became faces of the franchise, and they called the game in a very particular way that wasn't, it was unique to them, right? Like Bob Uecker and his storytelling and his self-deprecation and his, let's skip a few batters to just like tell the story about Mickey Mantle lighting farts on fire. Like that's unique. I didn't particularly think Hawk Harrelson from the Chicago White Sox was a good announcer. I don't think anybody really did, but I respected that he was different, you know, like he was confrontational. He was Southern drawl and didn't apologize. And he was to me, like, I thought it was a good time. He was funny. Similar to Ron Santo of the Chicago Cubs when he was doing radio play-by-play. He was whiny. He was the Cubs. So obviously I wasn't vibing with it. But, you know, like, he was completely different from how announcers are today. And no disrespect to them, because I love the work announcers do today. But there is a very professional, processed version of announcing.
Yeah.
That's not right. Something we have everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear. Brewers broadcasts are in fantastic hands. They've been operating largely like without Uke in some instances for a few years now. Like indeed. The guys they have, like a Jeff and Lane radio call is fantastic. But you're right. It just isn't that style, and you can't fabricate that style. Like,
no,
those two bounce back off on each other, like really well. And I enjoy listening to it.
Right. Yeah. If somebody showed up today talking like Bob Uecker, people would be like, what is this guy?
What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. You can't imitate it. There's one Mr. Baseball and in so many facets, from the broadcasting, his style to like the persona and like the guy that we saw down in the clubhouse. You're not going to find someone else like that. Like 90-year-olds don't fit in Major League Baseball clubhouses.
Right.
I don't know how clear I can make this.
It's so unique. You know, touching on the announcing real briefly, I think, you know, the Brewers have been prepared for this eventuality in that they have what you just described. Jeff Levering, who has bounced back between TV and radio, obviously does a ton of radio. Lane Grindle, Josh Maurer has been there kind of waiting in the wings and has been a guy who's filled in on occasion. Josh Maurer, very good at basketball, by the way. I don't know if you've ever caught him doing a Bucks game.
You did a Bucks game.
I'm a fan. I don't think we're going to see much change. You know, everyone knows Uecker's, you know, like his caseload, workload, whatever you want to call it, had reeled back. He wasn't traveling on road games. He didn't even do, you know, he didn't even do all the playoff games this year, you know, as his health sort of allowed. So the Brewers already kind of have a system. I don't expect there to be like a new hire or anything. I think it's just going to be business as usual. At this point, Jeff Levering has been with the organization for over a decade. I believe that's the case for Lane too. So, you know, these are not unfamiliar names. I think the broadcasts are probably going to be roughly the same. Do you get the sense it'll be anything different?
I mean, they could add someone else, but yeah, they do have, you know, the pieces in place and like the setup in place where, you know, if BA's off doing something else national, then Jeff will slide over to TV. And then they've got two other radio guys there who work great with Josh and Lane. So they have the bodies. The Brewers now have been working with a surplus of announcers for a few years now.
Right.
So I don't know if they want another one as Josh sort of slides up a seat in terms of the home broadcast. I'm assuming that would be a plan. I don't have any inside intel or anything final on that, but I would believe that would be the plan. So
right.
It'll still be the familiar voices. These guys love, you know, I have families here. They love doing Brewers games. They're really good. And like part of it too, we haven't talked about this, is like everyone that Uecker worked with went on to like a really successful career. They went on to become like the main play-by-play guy somewhere else. And like go ahead.
Pat Hughes is in the Hall of Fame now. Like as Hughes. A Ford C. Frick winner.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Anderson, he didn't work with Uecker, but he will be in the Hall of Fame. Like even Jeff's like one of the best college basketball announcers, like on the Fox network. He's really good.
Yeah.
So,
Jim Powell, who became the Braves announcer, Corey Provis, who became the Twins announcer. Joe Block in Pittsburgh. The pipeline is very strong coming through Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think Brewers fans like have had it pretty, it's obviously been pretty good with Uecker, but the fact that these guys have like the ones that are here have been there for the last decade or so is a pretty good place to be, because, you know, for like what, 15 years or so there, the launching pad was very springy.
Yeah. And Matt LaPay, if they need him, he can come off the bench for a couple seasons and just,
what about J.R. Radcliffe?
What about J.R. Radcliffe? I'm not on any broadcast. I'm here talking to you on the Microbrew podcast.
What about a fill-in?
I'm not going to fill it. No.
That was a ball.
That sounded like Andy Bernard in The Office. This muffin tastes bad. That's probably the amount of announcing I could do. You know what? I filled in for a high school football game with our good friends Brett Christofferson and Ricardo Arguello up in Post Crescent territory. They came down south for Muskego against Nina. It was a really nice like Fox Valley versus Milwaukee matchup to start the year. They ended up playing again in the playoffs, but I tagged along because I used to do radio. I enjoyed radio a lot when I was in college, and I was there as like the third guy on their broadcast, like sort of a, you know, Brett was doing play by play, and Kurt, I was really bad, man. I was so disappointed in myself. I thought I could hang. I mean, I did the prep work. I did everything that I could, but like, I just don't have it. I just can't do that. So Matt respects people who can.
I'm now entering year three of pushing for a spring training role reversal day, where the radio guys do our job and we do their job. And it's like, well, ours is much more doable.
Yeah. Plus they're already doing some of those things. They're already like going down talking to players after games.
Yeah. But then they have to write. So can they write? I don't know. But I certainly can't do what they do.
What are your first memories of Bob Uecker? You're much younger than I am, so I'm guessing they'll be very different.
I have a couple. I remember listening to the Furries spiel live. And there's an
iconic photo, by the way. It is not a strictly appropriate photo, but it is iconic the same of him with the fur.
And that's a great story to hear. Kent Sommerfeld, the longtime brewer. We got to get Kent Sommerfeld on this podcast. That guy has stories. Because he's been with me forever. So he's got a great story about how that whole picture of Uke with a furry happened. And then honestly, like getting to, I shouldn't say getting to, makes it sound like I was given a golden opportunity. Being the one who took the Pittsburgh trip last season in 2023 when AnthroCon was going on, just made it a whole full circle. And then like Kent was always on the trip and I'm like, Kent, we got to talk about this, man. This is like the yin and the yang. And now I have my whole life has meaning because I listened to that from you. If you haven't heard it, it's on YouTube. You just got it. We can't replicate it here. It's amazing. And then getting to like be in my hotel and be like, oh, that's right. I have lots of other pals in this same hotel as me. I'm staying on the North Shore next time the Brewers are there in AnthroCon, not doing South Shore again. That was a mistake. So that is one. I was listening to that live. I don't know where I go from there. I remember there was a game I snuck my radio as like apparently every Wisconsin like kid did that like baseball. You had a radio of some sorts that you snuck in your bedroom. Mine was on like a CD player. It got an AM FM.
Yeah.
And actually didn't get a FM, only AM. And I remember one night Corey Patterson hit like a crushing homer to beat the Brewers. And for some reason that sticks out in my mind too. So it's like just these, there's a bajillion memories of Uke and being a kid and listening on the radio to bad Brewers games. Damian Miller's walk-off homer on lacrosse day. I was playing baseball in the backyard when that happened. Justin Verlander's no hitter. Like it's just all these mid-2000s, like a conglomerate of mid-2000s Brewers midness, if that's a word, middity.
Yeah.
That's part of the story. Mid-baseball. So yeah, that is part of the story. And like
the Brewers,
that's why that's why we are sick individuals, is because that's what we listen to. And we're like, yeah, this is cool. Bob Uecker made it cool. Yeah, he made it cool. He made it fun to like sit there and listen to a game and do something else at night. And like you guys said earlier, this was before like the super duper advent of TV. We didn't get cable, I don't think, until like 2009 or so. So it's like most of my childhood. The only baseball I watched was either in person or at the or listening to Uke.
Telemundo would occasionally carry games.
Yes, I do recall a walk-off against the Guardians on Telemundo. I believe Carlos Lee might have hit it. And then, yeah, Obviously, the Bill Hall game was on Telemundo. We all watched on Telemundo for sure.
Yeah, incredible stuff there. That was extra innings, I think. So that wasn't Euchre's call, if I recall correctly, the Bill Hall home run on Mother's Day. I could be convinced otherwise. I don't know. Some of my memories are slipping there. For me, it goes back to the early 1990s. Definitely did not have cable. I'm not even sure if cable was a thing. We definitely didn't get Brewers games on TV. If it was a Brewers game on TV, it was a treat. It was Saturday afternoon or something. I lived in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. Bob Euchre was absolutely my conduit to everything Milwaukee Brewers. I stayed up late at night because they were on the West Coast. It's the first time I heard that there was a Paul Molitor hit for the cycle. I've told this story a bunch of times and did not know what a cycle was. He homered to cap off the cycle, and Euchre seemed very excited about that. I had to look that up. I don't even know how I looked that up because it was late at night and there was no internet, but
internet. I had to pause for a second. I was like, wait, you are that.
No, I definitely was. Yeah, there was no internet. I was playing like as the 1982 or 1984. There was some game on a Spinnaker 64 computer where there were like two teams to choose from. One of them might have been the Twins. I don't remember, but yeah, your little dots bits on the screen.
What would you do if you wanted to know something? This is like this is just a larger question that I have been afraid to ask, like older people. What
I think you had. What would you do? Not knowing. You just didn't know, Kurt.
That's
imagine.
Actually, no. I'm making myself seem like too Gen Z with that. I'm a millennial. I had dial up internet. Let's slow the roll here. But I was also in fourth grade, so I didn't need to know something right then.
Yeah. I mean, I had dial up internet too, but I got it just as I was going into high school. It was a birthday present. So a little bit different vibe. Yeah. I definitely grew up in the dark, man. I mean, when the All-Star game rolled around, I remember sitting there watching like the camera pan, you know, to everybody on the line before the All-Star game. And there would be guys I had never heard of, you know, Brooke Jacoby. And I followed baseball. Brooke Jacoby was one that jumped to mind with Cleveland. You know, they showed him like, who's Brooke Jacoby? I didn't know who the All-Stars were. It wasn't easy to just look up who the All-Stars were unless you had the newspaper with the rosters, you know? So Bob Euchre was so important to me.
That happened to me once, except it was in the age of where we had high-speed internet. Evan Meek.
Meek. Pirates closer. Shouts to you. There have been several players who've made the All-Star team in the American League where they pan those cameras and it's like, wow, I wasn't paying attention because I did not know who you are. But a couple Tampa Bay Rays pitchers, I think, along the way. But he was so important to me. I mean, you know, obviously we do what we do and there's a neutrality, but like, how can I lie about how meaningful Brewers baseball was to me growing up and how meaningful Bob Euchre was to me growing up, and to hear the get up, get out of here, gone, and to, you know, feel the emotion and, you know, love those stories and follow terrible baseball teams, you know, through the early 90s. And he was everything, you know, so I'm not alone, because that's what I was saying at the beginning. Like my parents, my mom grew up in Milwaukee. She knew who Bob Euchre was growing up. She listened to Brewers games. She was into it. So it's oddly this shared experience. I remember running around the house. You know, we only had one working radio and it had headphones. And at that point, my mom was listening and Paul Molitor took Tom Henke deep for a walk-off home run. And so I'm like, she's listening and I'm staring at her needing an update. Give me an update. I remember Bob Euchre when Jamie Navarro lost a no-hitter late in the game. I think it might have only been like the seventh inning. And he's like, well, he'll get one someday, Jamie Navarro. And I was young then, but I'm like, will he?
Yeah.
I don't know. He did not get one at any point. But, you know, those 90s teams, the 92 team, when they almost went to the playoffs, that was that was some of the first baseball that I really remember following closely. And then there's a pretty long wasteland until 2008, when he had, I think, the greatest call that I've ever heard him deliver with Ryan Braun's home run. I don't know if you heard that one.
That's new to me. I haven't heard it. One of the things, speaking of his, just like his legendary calls, another fun part of today, that sounds wrong, but like a part that, you know, like gave you an appreciation of all that you got from Euchre was on the Zoom with Woodruff and Yelich and Braun. It's like, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking like, man, these are three of the guys who have authored the best moments in Brewers history. Like, these guys are the ones that are behind so many of them. Kershaw, taking Kershaw deep. Braun's, like you said, the homer in 08. Braun even brought up one that I've forgotten about. Him and Yelich going back-to-back, and Euchre's call on that one for the walk-offs in 18. Like, and so I asked him, I was like, can you tell me what, as a baseball player, it is like to do something that big, and then you've got Bob Euchre calling it over the top for forever, and you just have that? Like, what does that mean? How special is that? And yeah, to hear them talk about it was pretty cool. It was like a more than the game moment, where, you know, it's just like, I think Braun said something like, yeah, you oftentimes like go back and listen to your highlights, and you're like, oh yeah, that's I haven't heard that, you know, I don't remember that call. But it's like, you know, in those moments when you do something, that's like, oh yeah, that's going to have the Euchre call with it forever. And that's right. That's pretty special. Like, I can't even imagine how many times like Brandon Woodruff has gone back and listened to the Euchre call of his homer against Kershaw, and they're like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And we're like, yeah, it is. That's a pretty cool baseball thing. And I don't know. We just kind of feel like maybe baseball players don't get like that worked up into cool things very often. And they're like, yeah, this is awesome. But
they do. Yeah. The Braun home run in 2008, which, by the way, I think the next time we do a podcast, we might be talking about another aspect of the 2008 season, a little tease there. As a coincidence, the Hall of Fame announcement will be coming up in 5 days.
Oh, but, I thought Guillermo Moto was coming on.
Salomon Torres, I found him. We're gonna have him on with the pod. No. Anyway, the Braun call, of course, is associated with Brian Anderson's TV call, and it, you know, it's an iconic call. It's great. Obviously, we love Brian Anderson. We are so lucky to have him in the market too. And I love that call. I love a lot of his calls. But that sort of is like an illustration of TV overtaking radio, right? Like, that's the thing that's associated with that Ryan Braun call. I think it's tremendous, the radio call for that one. It is peak get up, get out of here, gone. It's, I don't know if there's anything like unusual about it. It's just the emotion.
You felt,
you know,
it,
the yeah. energy of that moment. You really felt it.
It felt like the call that you or I or someone else would give if we were good at that job.
Right. Yes. Yes. The. And I mean, that's the thing about Bob Euchre. He's from here. He's Milwaukee. Like, he played for the Braves, but he grew up in Milwaukee. He played, you know, biked over to Borchert Field to watch games for the Milwaukee Brewers when they were, you know, a minor league team. He, you know, played at Wick Park. It's where he first started catching, you know, he started catching, at least apocryphal. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but the way he tells it, he was rude to the pitcher or rude to the catcher who couldn't catch his pitches or whatever. And the catcher's like, fine, you think you can do it? Why don't you do it? He's like, fine, I will. So he puts on the catcher's gear and a career is born as a catcher, which takes him all the way to the big leagues. He's one of us, man. He's Milwaukee. He's Wisconsin. I mean, no disrespect whatsoever to those other iconic announcers that I mentioned. None of those guys grew up in the city where they now it's a little Vin Scully grew up in Brooklyn and or grew up in the Bronx, I think. Brooklyn Dodgers, and then they moved to Los Angeles. But like, Bob Euchre has been part of Wisconsin his whole life, man. And you don't need that to be a really good announcer. You don't need that to become an iconic announcer. You don't need that to be the face of a franchise, but it means something to me. I don't know if it means something to everybody, but it really means something to me. And
I was going to say, there's not a lot of people on that point. There's not a lot of people who aren't players that like, single-handedly represent a sports franchise. Bob Euchre was one of them. Outside, if you just strip away players and it's other people like associated with the org, there's not many.
Nolan Ryan and, with the Rangers, maybe. I mean, what else? What are the other examples? They're out there, I'm sure, but
he's a player. See, exactly. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. There's a cultural impact of Euchre too. Like, it's difficult kind of to describe it to someone outside of Milwaukee, but it's like, yeah. Or Wisconsin is like, yeah, he was kind of ours. Like, he just was. And part of that was like, and talking to people today is like, yeah, his voice, his calls made you feel like you knew him. Like he was, it was just very inviting. And so, and yeah, I, I just can't. I can't believe it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
I sound like a broken record here, but yeah, it's that's what today is not realizing that this is real in a way. I don't know.
We will have lots of coverage still of Bob Uecker, jsonline.com. We had a lot of 18 stories, I think, went up on our site today on Thursday, commemorating, yeah, celebrating, detailing, giving background. You know, we wrote about his pop culture imprint, the Johnny Carson, the Mr. Belvedere, the Major League. How old were you when you watched Major League? Do you know? I don't remember.
I actually didn't see Major League until college.
Okay. Yeah, that seems about right.
As we've talked about, I should not probably watch that at seven.
No,
as we've talked about on the pod, not a big movie guy.
No.
I'm a fairly big baseball movie guy. I can get into that, but not a huge movie guy.
We should watch it together. I don't think we can live pod a movie and have that be functional, but
yeah, well, we certainly can't live pod golf and be functional. So
no, we tried that. We tried that playing golf. I managed to get one ping out of it audio wise, of me hitting the golf ball, which I was quite proud of. So anyway, yes, lots of coverage of JS Online. Lots more to come. We don't quite know if the Brewers are going to open up the stadium and have some sort of celebration, or if they're going to be, you know, what the arrangements will be. It's going to be crazy when the season starts and you don't hear his name, and that'll come soon. It's for me, it's always spring training when everything is covered in grimy salt and you're freezing. And then here's his voice in a late February spring training game. Like, that cuts through winter for me. That warms my bones.
Yeah, that is it. That is it.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
We're not going to have that.
What was your first, time that you met Uke? Do you remember?
So that's 2003. Mr. 3000 was filming at Miller Park. I can call it Miller Park then, right?
That is a good film. We got to put some respect on that film's name.
It is a film that exists, and Bob Uecker was not participating in that in any way, shape, or form. But what I was doing then, I was freelancing for onmilwaukee.com and wrote about his experiences with Major League. I really just went back, and it wasn't just Bob Uecker. I talked to John Vandenberg, the late John Vandenberg, who was the groundskeeper, and a couple people who had been extras in the crowd, you know, just revisiting the Major League experience. And of course, to do that, you kind of need to speak to Bob Uecker, who of course was the best thing about Major League, which is a very funny movie. I love it very much. I do not do comedies, but I really do like Major League.
That tracks.
Yeah, it kind of hits all the high notes for me. Oh, it's Milwaukee. It's got Bob Uecker. It's baseball. It's hard not to love. But that was the first time I met him, and it was really challenging because he's obviously very gregarious. He can work a room like we talked about, but you know, he doesn't suffer foolishness either. Like, if you don't have good questions or you're just, you know, not serious, like he'll move on, right? Like he could be I don't want to say intimidating, but he can be, you know, he's
intimidating. Intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily like because of like the way he was, but like who he was intimidating for sure.
Sure. Absolutely. There's an aura for sure. So that was the first time I talked to him. The last time I talked to him was, I think it was 2023. I don't remember for sure if it was 23, even maybe 22, but wrote about what Milwaukee baseball was like before the Braves arrived, the Milwaukee Braves arrived. Spoke to a couple people about that, about kind of the baseball scene, essentially, Borchardt Field, stuff like that. And there's no one better than Bob Uecker to talk about that because he grew up in it. There are so few people. We lost Felix Mantilla of the Milwaukee Braves, who's the last regular to appear in the World Series in 1957 or 58 on that Braves team to die. He was 90 years old as well. So like the strands to old baseball in Milwaukee were already down to so few. And then you lose the biggest and best of them all with Bob Uecker. That's very tough, inevitable, but really very tough. And I'm really glad I got that chance to talk to him. It was really fun. As you might expect, I had like two questions and it was a 25 minute conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to have a ton of good questions. You just need to,
he'll talk for you. He'll talk to you.
That's the Bob Uecker experience for you.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back again soon. Brewers are going to sign somebody someday, right? Jorge Alfaro, minor leaguer, signed today. Did you see that, Kurt?
You didn't even see it, did you?
Catcher?
There's no way the team announced that, right?
Oh, I don't even know who I don't even know where I saw it. It was such a footnote to a footnote for me because of what was going on today.
Look, there should be a signing coming soon. I'm not even saying it's a big one, but there's a signing coming soon.
Oh, you're calling it. You're calling it right now.
No, sure. We'll say it's calling it. Yeah.
All right. I love that.
It's not like earth shattering, but it's a human being that plays baseball.
That's all we can ask for right now.
I wonder if like this season's gonna take on I don't know. I wonder how it's gonna play out with like how good they are. But you know, if this team is good, they are in it. Like this baseball season is gonna take on a whole lot of meaning to a whole lot of people in that crowd and in that room.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Last year we said, if it didn't happen in the year where Jake Bowers and Sal Frelick hit go-ahead home runs in a do-or-die playoff game, it's never going to happen. But, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe the baseball gods will sprinkle some of that Uke pixie dust on the Brewers this year. Who knows? It's certainly going to be a storyline to follow especially if they play well, as at least one of us expects them to do.
Yeah. His last inning as a Brewers broadcaster, where he called, of course, the Mets comeback, the Mets 4-2 win in game three, and leaving us with the words, that one has some sting on it. They were heartbreaking in the moment. Again, I think we could all foresee that that could be the last game he broadcast. We now know that is the case. And man, those words hit. That one has some sting on it. It has some sting on it. It's really tough.
Yeah. But,
we'll be back again. Again, the Hall of Fame announcements, January 21st, so very soon. CC Sabathia, it's looking very, very promising that he will be added to the next Baseball Hall of Fame class. So that'll be something to talk about if there's no player movement. And we'll be back with you again very soon. Thank you for tuning in to Microbrew. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye, Kurt.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.